Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel, the Come and See Ministry Bible Study Class tonight. This month, we're dealing with Black Hebrew Women Month, Black Women in the Bible Month. That's what we're dealing with. And right now, we're on our Mother Rachel. You know, we started out with wisdom, then we ended up with Eve, and We got Sarai in there, and now we're dealing with Rachel, and this is part three of Rachel. So we ask all these questions of what God created a woman to be in the first place. You know, that is to say to be a help me. He called her wisdom. He called her understanding. He called her virtuous. He called her a queen. He called her righteous. He called her a help. He called her a meat. All these things he called her before Adam even gave her a name, and that was woman. He called her God. Let us make man in our image. Male and female created he them. He called her God. Before Adam gave her a name, that is to say, woman. Where did he get this word woman from? Did God tell him that she had a womb? Of course he did. He had to open up to show him. He told her. He told him. Told them both. So he said, you're a woman. Just like he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He told Adam, hey, you got bones. Guess what? I made her from her, from you, your bones. Yes, and I have bones. No, the angels don't have bones, but you got bones. I got bones. Yeah, your creator have bones. And that would make you in my image because the angels don't have bones. They are ministry spirits of flame of fire. Let's keep that in mind. So when I get into them, we get into this thing we just got to run in, man. We're still in the Black History Month. And this woman is created in the image of God, not angels. Amen. So let's get started. Let's, brother, sister, if you can stand, face Jerusalem. Sister, if you can, face Jerusalem. Let's stand, face Jerusalem. Cover your heads. And brothers, if you can, uncover your heads. And we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us. Give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In the faith to perform the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do it forever. Amen. Amen. So, let's get into this. Once again, this is Black Hebrew Women's Month. You know? And, like I said, you know, Father allowed us to do a lot of Hebrew Israelite seminars all over this country in various different institutions. So, and I have yet to do a Hebrew Israelite Woman Month. This is my first go. So, thank you for the responses and insights and everything. And your brother really appreciates you. Let's get into this. Let's start this in Proverbs chapter 7 and 4. Let's get to the point. And this is the question that we have to ask is, can Rebecca wear this? Can Rebecca wear this, I should say. Can Rebecca wear this? Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Can she wear that? You know, is she wisdom? Is she understanding, right? Okay. Let's go right into Revelation chapter 20. No, don't forgive me, 12. Revelation 12 and 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Can she wear this? Because if she can wear this, that means that her story was written before time. If she can wear Proverbs chapter 4, that means she's been predestinated. Not everybody and not everyone can wear that at all. Just like everybody can't be an elect, ask John the Baptist, and ask those that killed him. Everybody can't be an elect. Everyone can't be virtuous. So you got to get in where you fit in. It's just that simple. So you have the elect. This is the side that women are called to be the elect. So the elect would be this. Do she fit the criteria of a understanding and a wise woman? Right? Is she a kinsman? Is she a sister? Right? And then he said this, and she being cried, and she being with child, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Do she have this testimony that she is a mother, right? It's her story written in heaven that she's going to give birth to children. Okay. Let's see if she can wear that. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and 10. Proverbs 31 and 10. And it says this, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? And we went through this, how to find one. We're not going through it today. If you wasn't here to catch that, we're not going there with you. That's your boo-boo, not ours. So, no, we was there for that. But what we are going to do is this, discuss what a virtuous woman is. What is she? And he said, you can't find her. You can't find her. You won't find her. She don't come like anybody else. She's not the one you just run across. You can't find her. You won't find her. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time looking for her because we already covered that. We got to get into our mother's works. So, but this thing here, who can find a virtuous woman? The reason why we're looking this here up, do she fit this definition of virtuous? Right? Honor. Can she wear honor and integrity and an advantage? Is she an asset? Is she a character? Is she charity? Do she have consideration? Is she a credit to the kingdom? Is she ethics and ethically inclined? Is she excellence? Is she faith? Is she faithfulness? Is she fineness? Is she fortitude? Is she generosity? Is she goodness? Is she hope? Is she ideal? Is she incorruptible? Is she innocent? Is she kindness? Is she love? Is she a plus? Is she purity? Is she quality? Is she respectability? Righteous, temperance, trustworthy, upright, value, worthiness. The antidote to virtue is to dishonor and to be evil or immoral. That's the antidote to a virtuous woman, is to be evil and dishonorable. So if you are evil when you perform things that are dishonest or dishonorable, you are far from a virtuous woman. Don't even think about it. I'm telling you like it is, because this is what God said. Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, we see right here, this is what it's going to take to be one. And if you don't have these fruits of the Spirit, you sure enough should be asking God for them and praying for them now. Say, Lord, load me with them. Increase me with these things so that I can be a virtuous woman before your eyes. I mean, who knows? I may exceed Rebecca, right? Let's see. Good. Right. Well, he made it, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, was Rebecca good for Isaac? We got to read that. We're going to see that. Was she good? Was she innocent? Was she blameless? Was she chaste and effective, excellent, guiltless, high principled, honest, incorruptible? Kosher, pure, righteous-minded, spotless, straight, unsoiled, untainted, untarnished, wholesome. So the antidote of a virtuous woman would be a bad woman, a sinful woman, an unethical woman, a vile woman, and a wicked woman is the antidote of a virtuous woman. Okay? So now we know what those things are. And so now we got Isaac and the servant is bringing Rebecca to Isaac here in Genesis chapter 24. Let's go there. Let's go to Genesis 24 and let's pick it up at 57 because we want to get to the source, all right? He said, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, if you want to know, go listen to the last episode. Let's get to the how he said, well, he's bringing her to him now, right? So he said, let's call the damsel and let's inquire at her mouth. Let's see what she say. because they all decide whether or not. Now the servant said, "Let me go. I found her. Let me take her with me. This is going to be my master's son's wife. Let me take her now." He said, "Now let her stay for 10 days and live it up with us, and we ain't gonna see her for a long, long time. Maybe never again, and you know, so forth, right?" But he like, "No, I got on the mission is tight. I gotta go." Right? So now they say, "Well, let's call Rebecca and see what she said." So the damsel that they're speaking of is Rebecca, right? So, and they call Rebecca and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his man. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou mother of 1,000,000,000, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them." So right here, you see that she said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going, right? I'm out." This man came here with 10 camels and just broke everybody off in the house. "Yeah, I'm going to be okay, y'all. Thank you." And she out, right? Jumped on one of them camels. It's a wrap. She was on her way. And so they blessed her and said, you know, they're blessing her generations, you know, that now I want, you know, you're going to have thousands of millions. That's not even a number, you know, but she will. She's the mother. Man, I ain't going to even lie to you. This scripture bugged me when I first read it. This scripture, I ain't gonna even lie to you, bug me. I'm like, how is this? Right? Let me go there then and see. Still spelling it wrong. There it is. Let's try it again. May I have to just move around there? This is one of those deals that no, that's not it. Okay, maybe I got this one. Okay. Right. No? Okay. Moving around. Anyway, I'm going to find it before we get up out of here, though. But it's this description, man. I'm going to find it before we get up out of here. It's a script called "A Woman Saved Through Childbearing." That's it. Childbearing, not childbirth. Childbearing. You know, and I was saying to myself, man, how can that be? How can a woman just be, like, saved just by having children, right? But he wasn't talking about. He went way past that. He was talking about her, the wife, the Lord's wife, this woman, the one that's in Revelation chapter 19 and made herself ready. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 5. My mother's children were angry with me. Her. That's her. That's the one we're talking about. See the one that's going to be saved through childbearing, because the God of Israel told us in Malachi that he's looking for a godly seed from her, because he's the donor of the seed. He's bringing the seeds through her, whether they be Israelites or strangers. They all coming through her. They got to come through the woman, which happened to be Israel. all of them. She give birth to you. She bring you to the Lord. You have to get fed from her milk, which is the word of God. That's the wife. I can find that scripture, y'all. I'm going to find it. Anyway, let's get back to that. Genesis chapter 24:61. It says, and Rebekah rose and her damsels. So she had not only a damsel, she had a nurse and damsels. So she had servants. You know, people would have you to think Rebekah then was coming from nothing. No, man. Her father owned the city. He owned Mesopotamia. He was the one that built Mesopotamia. Abraham's son Isaac's wife was the princess of Mesopotamia. Nahor built that city before it got took over by strangers. That was Nahor out of Genesis chapter 10. He created that city, Mesopotamia. You know, it was a Mecca, man. It was like Timbuktu or, you know, like a smaller Egypt or something like that, you know. It was a city. It was a thriving institution. There was education, government, religion, all kind of stuff going on. And she was up on the food chain. She was way up the food chain. She was considered, would be considered royalty, family. See, because her father owned the city. So she wasn't like, you know, had anything. The man had 10 camels. He said, I'm going to ask this question. First, I want her to give me drink, and then I want her to water my 10 camels, and then I want her to give me somewhere to sleep, and my servants, and my 10 camels. Well, you have to have a nice little spread to pull that off. Well, there it is. She did. Oh, yeah, we got plenty of room for you. Case in point. She wasn't cheesy. She was used to things. She's seen things. She'd been around a lot of wealth. So she was used to it. Anyway, but she wasn't scared of work. Let's get to this. Rebekah rose and her damsel, they rose, and she had servants. And they rode upon camels, and the man followed them. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac came from the well of Lahari, and he dwelt in the south country. So wipe that out your mind. Isaac wasn't living with his dad. He had moved. He wasn't living with them. He was living on the southern part of Canaan, right? His father must have been in the north country, somewhere around there. But either way it go, they was in a nice spread. He was good. Abraham was good. He had servants. Abraham had servants. Isaac went out to let you know that Isaac was ready to marry a woman like this. He was prepared. He was set up pretty good. And Isaac came from the well of Lahai, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. How many of us do this? And we got to ask ourselves, why is he doing this? And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and she saw Isaac, and she lighted off the camel. And she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Obviously, he wasn't dressed like the rest, right? She wanted to know who this particular man is, because he ain't looking like he just got, you know, you're around servants. You know what servants look like. That ain't a servant coming at you. Who is that? And he like, oh, that's your husband. Oh, she like, she good. She put the veil on now, right? So he wasn't coming at her like he didn't know he was in a good place before God. He came at her looking like a prince. He looked it like a prince because she was a princess. Simple as that. For she had said unto the servant, what is this man that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took the veil and covered herself. See, she recognized royalty, and she recognized a statue of honor that's coming. You know, like, is this the one? Who is this coming? Like, you know, why are you concerned with this particular individual? Right? because he looked apart. Isaac wasn't out killing sheep and stuff like that. He was in his own country. He was praying. He got servants to do that. Isaac is a prince. Abraham is a king. Wrap your head around that. Just like David, like Solomon. Okay. And he said, verse 66. And his servant told Isaac all the things that he had done, which y'all need to go and read, and as we did for the last two services of this. He said, verse 67, Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah tent. Wait a minute, I thought Sarah lived with Abraham. I thought that was the thing to do. You get married, y'all go buy a house and be a part of each other and smell each other 24/7. That ain't how we got down. That ain't how we live. When we came into captivity, we gave that up. Shoot, our wives had their own places, and we didn't have no reason for fear they'd be out there doing anything crazy because they knew the God of Israel, and they knew that we had customs that would cut that off. So, yeah, you could have a tent. You could have a tent. I have my own tent. Everybody got their own space and whatever, you know, but it ain't like, you know, that's your space and, you know, this. No, it wasn't like that because when the Lord came to visit Abraham to tell Abraham that Sarah was going to have a baby, he asked, where was Sarah? He said, at the tent door. Well, they had Abraham's tent. But obviously, Sarah got her own tent. She got her own crib. She got her own servant. She got her own clothes, her own jewelry, shoes, quarters, servant quarters. Her tent was Wrigley Brothers. Abraham's tent was the big tent, Wrigley Brothers. And they had quarters in them. You know, like the Lord had showed us, man, with the tabernacle, man. God knows, you know, you put up linen everywhere. By the time you get up in that tent, it'll be, it don't matter how hot it is outside, it'll be super cool up in there. It'll be like an AC. You wouldn't even know how hot it was outside just because of the air that's up in there. And with the linen, with the breeze coming through the linen, hot. By the time you get to the place where it's supposed to be, it'll be completely cooled off. Now, we got it. If it was too hot, of course, they had servants to blow them feathers around. You know, you see them amongst the Arabians, but Ishmael got that from us. Ishmael got that from Abraham. You know, those things. That's why when you see Ishmael walking and you see him in his light and his royalty, he got that from our fathers. But get this, that's a good look. Them cats from OPEC, that's a good look. They still represent pretty good. But guess what? If they represent like that, that means Abraham was killing it. That meant Sarai, Abraham was killing it. So let's wrap our minds around that and stop looking at them like they was following sheep. They was not. Okay? So anyway, Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah tent and took Sarah, and took Rebecca, let me read this again, 67. Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So, they are now married, and I don't see no preacher in this picture anywhere, you know. I don't see none of that, you know. Dearly beloved, we gathered here today to get through this thing, you know, this join these two here in matrimony. It wasn't none of that. None of that. You don't see that conversation. The agreement was made. And Isaac sealed the deal. That's all to it. But the agreement was already made. This ain't a B movie. Ain't nobody going to come and save her from this. She is bought and sold for the kingdom work. Genesis 25 and 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. It don't say how old Rebekah was, but she was young enough to bear children. She was not 40. Trust that. Where are we? The daughter of Bethuel. Yeah, here we go again. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. The daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. You see? And it says here, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. But the Lord had, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled with together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Well, we just found out that the word virtuous is what? Faithful. So she was faithful. She went to inquire of the Lord about this thing. Not no superstitions. Not any Yahoos. Any ready Yahoo to say, hey, I know God. Ooh. No, ain't nothing like that. She went and inquired of the Lord. You know, this is that thing. It says in 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Well, she is fitting Revelation chapter 12 at this time because, one, she is a queen now. She is married to Isaac, right? When Isaac inherit all things, he would become a king, she would become a queen, right? So now, he said, there are two nations within you. But he said, she being with the crown of 12 stars, you know, and the moon of the moon and the sun of the moon, with the sun and the moon, that's her. Being with child, paying to the thing, paying to be delivered. She can wear all of that. Because she's the mother of the children of Israel. So, yeah, she can wear that. So, oh, yeah, this is her story. She was written in heaven. She was written in heaven. She was predestinated to do the things that she do. She was a very elect. You know, we always run that at the brothers, but no. Rebekah, very elect. Look what she's doing. God is talking to her like he was talking to Abraham. You actually see him talking to her before he talking to Isaac. Now, let me back up on that. It ain't too much long after this before he reached out to Isaac. You know, but he's talking to her about the babies that's inside of her. You see, this is that thing. And the Lord said unto them, two nations are in thy womb, two manners of people. So their manners are going to be told, they're going to be different. Yeah, their behavior, their thought patterns, you know, even though they're twins, they're going to be very, very, very different. Two manners of people. So don't get, they're not going to be identical. They're going to be different people. Two kingdoms. So she gave birth to two thrones. Exactly. Isaac gave her two thrones. How about that? We want to keep, you know, we pissed or spit on Esau, but he's a king. You got to knock it off, man. He's a king. He's up on Abraham. You can't disinherit him. He's an inheritance, Jack. You can disinherit yourself before he's actually disinherited. Now, wrap your head around that. You can disinherit yourself before he's disinherited. So you can be spitting on Esau all you want. I've seen, and I read in the law, that he's going to get into the kingdom. I haven't read anywhere that any of us, outside of the ones that came and went, are going to make it into the kingdom. You're a work in progress. He is sealed to get into the kingdom. The book said the third generation. Oh, he's going to get in. He's in the law. He's getting in. I mean, the book of Moses, he's getting in. We can read Obadiah and all that, but I'm going to take you right to the law. That man is going to be there right there with his brother Jacob. Ain't nowhere in the world a God of Israel is going to cut off Abraham's grandson because of appointment. This is appointment. This is all predestinated appointment. The younger is going to serve, the older is going to serve the younger. That's predestinated. That's an appointment. And Rebecca didn't have nothing to do with that. Jacob, Esau, they had nothing to do with that. They ain't even here. Their story is already written out. So their story is written out before God. See that? The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. That's the firstborn. And after that came his brother out, his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So it was 30 years later since when he was dealing with Rebecca for having these children. So how old was Rebecca? Because he was 70, right? 73. That's a one. So he became the father. Yeah, there it is. So, and Rebecca, how old was she? Because you know she wasn't 73. See that? She had to still be in that thing where she's able to have, she could still be developing eggs at this time. And we're talking about 30 years later. Let's see this a little further. Um, 25 to 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebecca loved Jacob. Why? Because the God of Israel put it in our heart to pay special attention to this one here. Because remember now, the elder is going to serve the younger one. She went and inquired of the Lord for the answer. God, why am I dust? What's going on in here? And she went and sought out God. So she been waiting on this moment. Right? So she's understanding too. And she's wisdom, right? So she definitely wearing Proverbs chapter 7 and 4 like a glove, tailor-made for her hands only. But can she wear the virtuous, right? Let's look at that. Let's go into Proverbs chapter 30 and 10. Can she wear the virtuous? Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. You ain't finna find it. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. But if you listen at the last episode, you might have an idea where to locate her, but you definitely not going to find her. That's a fact. Anyway, for her price is 5 gold rubies. You can't pay for this. You can't buy this. This man came with 10 camels of stuff for her. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I know I ain't got 10 camels of it, right? And she came with a lot more requirements. The heart of a husband do safely trust in her so that he has no need of spoil. Well, we know that Rebecca ain't about spoiling nothing. She a go-getter. She works. She's hands in. She's hands on. Any woman that have worked 10 camels that just got through walking across the desert, no problem whatsoever, hands on. Oh, okay, verse 13. She sealed wool flat and worked willingly with her hands. How did the scripture speak? All right, man. 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from far. She write, she can cook. She got cooking skills. She can burn them up. She can cook. She can cook. She can cook. Well, gotta see about that. He said, she rises also while it is yet night. She gives meat also to her husband and a portion to her maidens. So, see, that's why he said she had maidens. So they all living in a tent. They didn't have, you know, they was all living in a tent too. I guess, you know, Isaac set up some tents for the servants or whatever. But the tent that Sarah was in, believe me, her number one nurse was living in that tent with her. She lived with her in that tent. I guess the only time my nurse wasn't there is when Isaac was there, or when Sarah had the tent, when Abraham was visiting. I guess that's the nurse had to go and find her some business, but no. That tent was huge, and she had servants. She had maids like Sarah did. And when Isaac married Rebecca, she inherited. Not only did she come with maids and nurses, but she inherited Sarah's maids and nurses and everything that belonged to Sarah: her jewelry, her clothes, her shoes. Everything. Let's see. But it says this. She worked willingly with her own hands, so it ain't like, you know, she ain't going to make her own stuff. She could sit her field and buy a fit. With the fruit of her hand, she planted for vineyards. So she out there, you know, doing a thing, man. She got a green thumb, right? She may be, but this may be not, this may be allegory or, you know, like symbolic or something. You know, that's a Jehovah Witness, like, use that word, symbolic. Everything is symbolic when they ain't trying to. I've been a Jehovah Witness, I'm like, I can go there with that. Yeah, everything is symbolic to them if they don't understand it. But anyway, that's their way out, trust me. It says she considers a plant and buy. What do you mean? She could be a businesswoman. I mean, you know, like, hey man, I'm buying a network. I'm buying some airwaves. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, right? It ain't always got to be exactly this conversation, but it's this conversation. She's industrious, right? Not to take over, but to add to. That's what she said. That's what the law said a virtuous woman do. She adds. She brings to the table. She is worthless, not worthless. She don't take away. She add to it. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle go out night by night. She layeth her hand to the spindles. Her hands hold to the distaff. She stretch out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow. I haven't read that they dealt with poor people and stuff like that. I haven't gotten to that yet. All I know is that they worked with that they had a lot of servants. And I can't imagine their servants being poor. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh her She's good. She know how to keep it good. She make of herself covering tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She make of fine linen and selleth it and delivereth the girdle unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come when at the first resurrection. This is what strength and honor. Honor is up under virtue. Strength is another thing. It says this. She opened her mouth with wisdom. There it is. Proverbs chapter 7 and 4. That's there. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. So she is your sister with that mouth, not your mama. Recognize that. Not your mama. Your mama could talk to you like that. Not a child. And then a man should never be addressed as a child, not from his wife. Where we at? Verse 27. She look well to the ways of her household and eat of not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Well, here we are. God bless you, Sarah. God bless you, Eve. And God bless you, Rebecca. Oh, my goodness. God bless y'all so much. And eat not to, okay, rise up, and her husband will also praise her. Well, you know, Isaac did after, you know, when we get to this story. Many daughters had died virtuously, but thou hast sellest them all. This is why I say this is Rebecca. She represents, this is her, right here in verse 29. Because you don't read any other matriarch throughout the scriptures do more than Rebecca. Nowhere. Okay. They say Miriam, Moses' sister, right? Yeah. Is she virtuous? Nope. Not like this. She's not that third. She's not here. She is not 29. She is not 29. Read what? I say she's virtuous, but she ain't the one that, she wouldn't be this one. Rebecca is this one. She passed all of, she's the example of what is virtuality, what is virtuous is. She is the poster daughter of virtuous. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the end of it, man. You know, I mean, yeah, you got good, she look good and all that, you know. I mean, the books say that a helpmeet is made to be met, you know. What do you mean? Rubbed, touched, felt, loved up, rubbed, you know, hugged up, all that good stuff, you know, smelled up, all that. All that's vain. Right? When you get done, because that's over, that's just a moment in time. But the thing is, this is what lasts forever. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's everlasting. See, a lot of women don't fear God, you know, because a lot of women don't believe there's a God or never been taught that there is really a God to be feared. Why should we fear God? He loves everybody, right, until we beg him for somebody's life, right? And we in our concerns. And we can hear the machines trying to hold on to these individuals. And we asking God, please. That's when everything get real. Do she fit this criteria? I'm going to tell you before we even get into this story, she killed it. She killed this. She is the epitome of Proverbs 31 and 10. If anybody asks you who can find a virtuous woman, say, I don't even know. I know where one at. And you start with Rebecca. You say, now that's, now you figure out, now if you can figure out how to find her, you're in a good place. Yeah. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 27 and verse 1. Now, here we go with that same thing again, because Isaac is getting old, and he said, I don't know my death, and here we go. You know, we get old and stuff like that, you know, and you start feeling that, man. You know, you just start feeling, you know, like, man, I better make sure my house is ordered and all this old type of stuff, you know, because you don't want to leave stuff messy. And everybody all over the place, right? So this is what you do. You make sure that everybody's straight before the inevitable become inevitable, right? 27 and 1. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. So the Lord did this to Isaac's eyes. You know, you may be wondering, well, why would God do this to Isaac's eyes, man? You know, but no, it was something here for him to do. It was a lot of work here to take place. So part of the work is that Isaac had to realize that this is part of the work. And if Isaac had anything in his heart concerning what happened to his vision, before he left this world, he made peace with it. Because of this situation right here. 2. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, and quiver in thy bow, and go out to the field and take some venison, and make me savory meat, which such as I love, and bring it to me that I might eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard what Isaac said, spake to Esau his son, and Esau went into the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. But Rebekah was ear hustling. Where was Rebekah at? Well, if Esau is visiting, that meant that she had to be at his tent, at Isaac's tent. It wasn't Esau's or hers now. It wasn't in her tent. She was at his in the South Country. Abraham is still alive here. Okay? Abraham is... No. I take that back. Please forgive me. Abraham died when they were 15 years old. This is after they are the age now. They are of age now to get married. So Abraham is gone. Please forgive me for that. Let's see. 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Esau went into the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I have heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make savory meat that I may bless and that I may eat and bless thee before my death. Wait a minute. She was right in his tent hearing him talk to him like that. That didn't bother her. She'd been waiting for this. Because it's a point that in the East decided, the men of the East did. I don't know about the West. The West, you know, they leave a will, you know. But the men of the East, what they would do, they would bless their children before they leave this planet and pass the power of their being into their being and add into them, you know, what they're supposed to have. Not give them things that they can lose, but actually pass the actual being and preserve them. That's what that was. And so this is what's going on here. And so Rebekah heard this, right? So she told him, man, your dad is going to bless Esau. Why is she talking to Jacob like he should know what's going on? Because Esau has sold him his birthright. We're not dealing with Esau right now because Esau and Jacob's story isn't the story. We're dealing with the women. We got a lot of Esau and Israel story going on right now, so that's good. But right here, we're dealing with this matter, her part in it. Right, we're dealing with her part. So now she ear hustles. She get the story. She right there in the tent. She hear the conversation. So she tells Jacob, no. She already inquired of God what it is. He said the elders don't serve the younger. So she faithful. Against the odds, she faithful. What do you mean she faithful against the odds? Watch this. Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and take me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now she's talking to him, not Esau. This is verse 9. Go to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 kids of goats. Why 2? Did she have to choose between one? Right. Did she have to choose between one that you know, that would be closer to that? But watch this. He said, and bring, go to the flock, fetch me thence 2 kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. She can cook. Ooh. Now, wait a minute. Now, Sarah, now, she baked them cakes. Now, she made cakes for God. God ate her cakes. Now, if God came down and said, man, I got to have some of that Sarah cakes, man. That's big, right? That's really big. God ate your cakes. That's huge, right? But this right here, she's, the Lord is showing right here that she can cook. With a K. K. She cooked. Bring me 2 kids of a goat. that I make that savory meat for your daddy before he bless you.
Yeah.
That's it. Right? Such as he loves. Because you know what he like, right? Because she ate off his plate, right? This tastes good, boy. This is good. So well, let me try that, baby. Let me try that. Let me see where you at. Oh, I can make that. Oh, I can make that for you every time. That's Rebecca. That's that auntie crib. You go over her house, man. Her kitchen is always on fire. Yep. She the one that makes sure her kitchen and all everything is good and send you back home sad. Looking out the window. Woo! Here it is. Verse 5. 10. Now I'm going to read that 9 again. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goat. Not just any good, like we just, what well, we read, good, really good. He said, and I will make them savory meat for thy fathers, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Wait a minute. Faithful, verse 10. Faithful, because God said the younger is going to serve the older, but wait a minute. She got to be a little bit crafty up in here. She got to be crafty. She got to make sure Isaac bless Jacob, because that's the way it's supposed to went. This is her work that was given to her from God. Why didn't she just tell Isaac, look, I went and inquired the Lord, and you know, you thought it'd been just that easy, right? I went and inquired the Lord. The Lord said, the younger going to serve the older. And, you know, Esau sold his birthright onto Jacob. So it's all etched in stone. You really need to bless Jacob. You think that would have been an easy way out, right? No, man. She goes through all of this. She goes through the whole thing of showing how virtuous she is. No, God put it out there. This is what a virtuous woman do. She work with her hands. She can cook. The law of kindness is in her mouth. She's wisdom. This is wisdom here. This is understanding here. She understand now it's your time, Jacob. The wisdom is, you go give me two kids, and I'm going to hook this up for you. The understanding is now is your time to get your blessing from your father. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm smooth. And most Israelites are smooth. You know, you got some of us that's hairy, you know, but most of us are not that hairy, you know. Gentiles can be hairy. Ham ain't a hairy people. They can barely grow a beard. But a Gentile can have a beard down their back, you know. So they could be some hairy people, you know. And then Esau coming up, and he was, yeah, so he said he's hairy. I'm like, man, I barely got any arm hair. I barely got armpit hair up under my arms. I'm so trying to tell you, right? But he said this, right? I ain't got hair on my hands. That's what he's talking about. So when I read the scripture and I looked at what he said, I got it. It's not a common thing to seeing a bunch of hairy Israelites. We are not like the black men in America are not hairy. We got beards, but we're not hairy. Once we put on our basketball clothes, that hair stuff stops at the neck. Well, some of us got some hair, but it ain't like that for the most part. 80%, 90% of us 70% of us, nah, we ain't like that. We smooth people, you know. Nappy hair. Right. Anyway, 20, now here come the wisdom. He said, now, verse 11. And Jacob said to his mother, Rebekah, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and shall sing to, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, look upon me, and be thy curse, let me read this again, 13. His mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So she needed two kids to pull this off for it to taste like venison. What? Who knew? Because obviously this isn't a fry, this is a bacon, or this is a boil, this is a broil, this is a curry sort of thing going on here. Savory is curry. So she took two kids to go to make this come up the way Isaac wanted to be, a venison. And she said, what else she said? She said, and the curse said, let that curse. She knew what? She knew the God of Israel was going to bless that man. She knew, because he already told, she was quiet. Like 30 years ago. Right? Because now Isaac is 35, 75 or 30. That's 30 years ago. Now these dudes go, now she's pushing 60. Isaac, God knows where he at in that stratosphere in the clock. So, here she is now. The time is now. And so she said this. She said, only obey my voice and go fetch me down. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And mother made savory meat such as father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of his eldest son Esau and went, which were with her in the house. And put the, what's she doing with Esau clothes in? Wait a minute. Not his baby clothes. Right. Anyway, so she's put them on her. She put them on Jacob, right? You could smell in there, and it said, and she put the skins of the kids of the goat upon his hand, and upon his smooth of his neck. What? This dude was that nappy, that curly, that haired up, that the hair of a goat made the difference. So she was full of wisdom hooking this up. She made him a glove that fit like Esau's hand. Because Isaac rubbed it. He had to grab it to feel it. So it had to feel real. She gave savory meat and bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son, Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father, he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? He really couldn't see. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to as thou obeyest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. He is all the way on script. Rebekah told him everything to say and do, right? To do and say. Isaac said, this is that wisdom, man, and understanding. And she putting in the work, right? She working willingly with her hands. She ain't deceptive. She's following the will of God. This ain't being slick, right? Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou find it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord brought it to me. Ooh, he said that. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's hands, so he blessed them. What did Rebekah do to make his hands feel like another man's? Right? That's almost impossible for two men's hands to feel the same. 27:24, and he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Yep, he did. And he said, "Bring it near me, and I will eat of my son venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he did drink. Not fermented wine. He brought him the real good stuff, because Isaac is a king, and you know, they wasn't drinking, you know, Wild Irish Rose, for real. Get around that. And he came there and he blessed him. He smelled the smell of him. He said, no, 27:26. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord had blessed. Therefore God should give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee and the nations bow down to thee. Be thou Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curses thee and bless be everyone that blesses thee." And when it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob had yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Now, where do you think Rebekah is at this time, sitting up here watching all this play out? She watching all of it. She seen it come through. She watched it go to pass. She watched it came to pass. Yeah, Jacob got the blessing. And also, he had made savory meat and brought it. He made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, had said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten all before thou camest, and I have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard these words, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, O my father, even me also, my father." He said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and taken away thy blessing." And he said, Is not his name rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now behold, he has taken away my blessing. And has said, "Has thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and whatsoever, what shall I do unto thee, my son?" Ooh, it was none left but natural thing. And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Man, that had to be hard. Even though she loved Jacob, that had to be a killer, Jack. Esau, his father, answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By thy sword shall thy live, and shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off of thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Yep, there it is. Rebecca hooked it up. If it ain't for Rebecca, this conversation don't take place. Jesus don't make it into the creation. That's how far her conversation went. That's how far Rebecca conversation went. It went all the way to the birth of the Most High God. Kidding. Kidding. That's what virtuous get you. It'll get you to the Most High God, women. It'll land you right there. That's what virtuous gets you. It don't get you hard times like being virtuous, like, oh, it's getting on my nerves. Why me? Why he keep bugging me? Until he drive off and don't come back. And you're like, where he go? Where is he now? You know. No, man. This is that thing. This is that virtuous thing. That virtuous thing would get you this. It would get you to God. So, yeah. That's that thing. It says, so he said, now Esau he's planning on killing Jake now, right? He planned on killing Jacob. So he said, I'm going to wait. And I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to grieve my father like that. I ain't going to do that to him while he's alive. I'm going to wait, you know. But God still, he held it up. He made sure that Esau, about time Esau, Jacob again, which we're going to pick that story up. We got to pick that story up. So by the time he see Jacob again, guess what? That thing is gone from him. He more concerned that he had blood, flesh and blood working in his world, and he not alone in this world. You know, a lot of us look at that thing with Esau and Jacob, man, and all we do, just like most of us, man, we take that white piece of paper and all we see is a dot on it. You know, but if you look at Esau and Jacob relationship, man, Esau taught a lot to the children of Israel. The children of Israel knew they was in trouble because their father knew they was in trouble. He said, I'm going home and my brother gonna kill. And then his brother broke out with a band of 400 dudes. He was coming at him like an army. He got women and children. He got servants. He ain't got an army. And Esau coming at him, he probably got Isaac army. You know, the one Abraham left, you know. Who knows? Anyway, but he's coming. And then he meet Jacob. And then instead of him pulling out a sword, man, he started kissing and loving on his brother with tears. All this was gone. I'm getting ahead of the story because we're going to get into it. But what I'm trying to show, what I'm trying to bring up here is so that Esau, he get a really bad rap. Just like Adam get a bad rap, you know. It was just an appointment, you know. But it ain't like he don't love Israel. He really do. But this, it is what it is. You know, he really do love Israel. Esau would make Israel riches all get out, if all probability. You know, if he can get past this here, anyway, so he falls on Jacob's neck, crying, loving all on his brother. And asking about this is your wife, this is your children, and he like, these are my nieces, it's my nephews, it's my sisters in laws, hey y'all, you know. And Joseph saw all of that, man. Joseph was there. I don't even know if Benjamin wasn't here yet because Rachel met Esau. So Rachel died when Benjamin was born. So she actually met Esau. So Benjamin wasn't here yet, but Joseph was. Joseph seen the whole thing. He saw his father, was concerned about his brother taking his life. And then he saw his brother love him to life versus trying to kill him. And when it was his turn, instead of him taking the power that he had, he loved on his brothers like he saw his uncle do. We just don't really give enough honor where honor's supposed to be at. You know, we just built on just, we got that respect of person just down to a science, even when it comes to the scriptures. We don't want to give nobody credit but Israel. That's it. And an occasional mention of the God of Israel. Like that. In that order. Before you hear anything about the God of Israel, what's up, Israelite? Israelite, Israelite, Abraham, Israelite, 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 David, Israelite, 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 Jesus, Israelite, Israelite, Israelite. What a God is. You hear all of that before you hear the God of Israel. You hear that about 20 times in God of Israel, maybe 2 or 3. Same thing. Joseph seen this man forgive his brother. And when it was his season, he did the same. Forty-two. And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. You know, it was in him. He started talking, man. He had servants. He had servants, too, so he started talking. And so the servants loved old Jacob. They were like, and they loved Rebekah, like, hey, man, Esau is really talking crazy. He talking about getting Jacob, right? Watch this. And she's saying, call Jacob, her young. And the words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her youngest son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doeth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, see how truthful? That's the truth, man. You know, yo, buttercup that. Look, man, you better get out of here. This man going to kill you for that birthright thing. So get on out of here. Look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you to my brother's house. And you go there and you stay there until your brother cool off, right? He go over there and he find him a wife and bring find 4 wives and come back with the 12 tribes. Go figure. And Isaac seen them. He didn't see them, but he met them all. And they all got a chance to get kissed by him. Anyway, 27:42. Hear the words of Esau. These are the words of Esau, elder brother, told to Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, do comfort himself and purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee to Laban, my brothers in Haran. Right? Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away. Until thy brother's anger be turned away. See, that's from God. Now, the Lord is speaking to her because that's exactly what happened. Right? Exactly. When the next time you see Esau, that's exactly what happened. 45. She knew both her children. She knew them both. And then she did something else here that we, you know, that we so conscious of. You know, she spoke it in existence too, right? She had to speak it into existence before it become real. So she spoke on it. The law of kindness was there. Okay. Until thy brother's anger be turned away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will sin and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life. Now here she go. Now, here come the who's that? The wisdom, right? Here comes the wisdom, right? Wisdom is you got to get them out of here, right? So how do you do it? You seal it by the husband. Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life. because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife for the daughters of Heth, such as which are the daughters of their land, what good is my life to me? Well, you know, Isaac didn't want to hear that. You know, that's the last thing you wanted to hear, right? Okay. Genesis 28:1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him there and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife for the daughters of Canaan. Same thing he said with Isaac. I mean, they black. They beautiful. But a different mindset. That's all. That's the problem. It wasn't that they couldn't have any. It wasn't that we was any better or anything like that. It was just that they was on a different path and they was going in a different. They was on a different cycle of life, a different plane, so to say. We wasn't in a plane, you know, like the angels. They came to us and we had to go. You know, they came down and then they came to our plane and we would have to sin before God and then go to their madness, right? Anyway, so he said, no, don't even fool with them at all. He said, to arise and go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, kinsman, sister. So she fits Proverbs 7:4, according to Genesis 28:1, 2, and 3, like a glove. She is wisdom. She is a sister. She is understanding, and she is a kinswoman. And I will give thee blessings of Abram. Now, let me finish this. And it says, 3. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. So Isaac found out something else about this. He's still blessing them now. So obviously Jacob ain't appeared to be. Now something changed his mindset right here because he's good with what just happened. You know, he's good with this. Now he's sending them away with blessings. It says, verse 4, and give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee. What? And to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the mother of Rebekah, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Rebecca. All right. So now we're finna go into now. Let me read this because he sent them away. Now, when he sent Jacob away to marry Rebecca, they was all Semitic. This is Semitic hookup. He didn't want a Semitic and a Hamitic hookup yet, right? Because Judah married Canaanites, and so did the 12 tribes. They was all up into the Hamite women because that was the nation. That was the world we was in at the time, right? Why they didn't take some of the Midian women or, you know, like Moses did, I don't know. They was there, you know. Maybe not as yet because they hadn't developed yet because Midianites they came out of Abraham and Keturah. So, no, they wasn't ready yet. Anyway, let me go into this thing, man. Anyway, the 12 tribes married the daughters of of the nations, which is Ham. And Joseph happened to marry an Egyptian, right? Had two children by it. So he married into royalty. So let me look at this. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him away from thence, and that he blessed him and gave him a child, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob obeyed his voice and his mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, Esau went unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had of Mahalalel, the daughter of Ishmael, the daughter of Ishmael's Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajah, to be his wife. So he went and got a Semitic, which was one of the daughters of Ishmael, which was Abraham's, which is would have been his a great aunt, right? Kind of on that side, but by being a people now, you know. But yeah, Esau Ishmael is Esau's uncle. And so his daughters would be second cousins, would be cousins to him. Right. So they would be second cousins, not even first cousins, they'd be second cousins. And so he went and married them. But the scriptures ain't really, really good with this, man. When you start reading this about this and Esau, man, that fornication thing is really big. I'm going to read this verse here, and then we're going to wrap this up, man, because I think we feel that Rebekah is definitely Proverbs chapter 7 and 4. All right? So we're about to get off in Leah and Rachel. But I want to read this verse concerning Esau. I don't know. You know, maybe I should not, because this ain't about him. Yeah. It ain't about him. Let's move around. You know, I just wanted to show that he would cry, and they called him a fornicator because he put away the Hamite women that he was dealing with, you know, not for fornication or of adultery or any uncleanliness. He just, I'm out, and I'm going to go grab me a Semitic bra, and then he moved, or a Semitic woman, and he moved on. And that was the story, you know, for Esau and you know, of course, Israel judged him as a fornicator, you know. I'm like, but he married them. Okay. But anyway, that was that thing. Amen. So right now, I want to say, now all praises to our mother, Rebekah. You wear the virtuous crown to the highest. She had that right here. I'm going to read that Proverbs chapter 30 and 10, and then that other verse, 31 and 10. Then I'm going to read that other verse that defines her to the highest. 31 and 10, and it came to pass that at the, oh, I'm in Genesis. All right, 31 and 10, and it says this: who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rupees? The heart of a husband do a safety trust in her so that he would have no need of spoil. So, you know, she told Abraham everything that he said. That's why Esau was still like, wait a minute, man, he blessed him again. And told him not to marry these kids. You know he already knew that he had married her. You know, he had some wives, you know, with these Canaanites. You know, he so thought he was doing the big, you know, he a prince, he riding around, he doing the king thing, the prince thing. He out in front with the natives and all that. And found out that his father wasn't with him. That was a problem. But this is that thing. So let's look at this thing. He said, so now about time he felt this, you know, the whole thing. I'm sure she told him the dream. She went and told him what she did. She told him how he sold his birthright. And then came back because, you know, she had to, you know, by this time he got the deal. He got the deal from her. Because they were, the book said the law is you're supposed to be naked with your husband, right? So you know she came clean. How did Isaac get past me? How would you let him sit before me like that? You know, really? Really, you hear? You didn't see this? Right here. 31 and 23, and it said, a husband is known in the gates, of course, Isaac is, when he sitteth among the elders of the land, he was a king. She made fine linen and sellered it. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come, the first resurrection. She going to be there when Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Leah wake up, she going to be right there with them. She going to rejoice in the time to come. All of them, they're going to see each other ascend in the clouds and be changed at the same time with each other, like God promised. All six of them, at the exact same time, they're going to come out the ground again. They're going to come out that cave that's in the middle of nowhere, and they're going to rise up before God. It says this, she opened up her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. It says she looked well to the ways of her household. Just read that. And eat of not the bread of idleness. She's faithful. She would have searched out God. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. You know that's a fact. Her husband also shall praise her. You know that's a fact. Many daughters had done virtuously, but thou hast failed them all. That's why I say I don't know of another woman that put in more work for the kingdom than Rebecca did. And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about the Miriam kind of work, you know. I'm talking about this kind of work, that intricate stuff, that you better know where you at, you better know the times and the seasons, you better have some skills with your hand, you got to be the discerner of spirits. You know, it's a lot going on in this whole conversation when it comes to Rebecca. She is the virtuous woman. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. And she's the prototype of every virtuous woman after her. That's why the scripture said, many have done virtuously, but you have excelled them all. I give that honor to Rebecca. With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And you want to be back here tomorrow evening. We're going to be into Black Hebrew, Black Hebrew Women Month. And tomorrow night we're going to be here with Leah and Rachel, right? Because Jacob is on his way now to get his wife from Laban. Remember now, Laban is the one that met Abraham's servant, and Rebecca is his little sister. So Laban is the eldest, and he inherited everything that his father had, which is Nahor. So I'm just going to assume Nahor and Abraham is gone. I know Abraham is gone, so I'm just going to assume Nahor is gone because Laban is handling the business, right? So Nahor definitely had to be gone, right? So we're going to pick that story up tomorrow. Well, you got two wives. You got four of them in this picture, but we got to ask the question. Let's look at the main two, Leah and Rachel. Do Leah and Rachel fit Proverbs chapter 7 and 4, Proverbs 31 and 10, Revelations 12 and 1 and 2, Psalms 45, 9, 10, 11, Genesis 2 and 18. Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of Living Waters, read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.